This is the reading for June 7th. Job chapter 8. Then Bildad the Shuhite answered, "How long will you say such things? Your words are no more than wind. God does not twist justice. The Almighty does not make wrong what is right. Your children sinned against God, and He punished them for their sins. But you should ask God for help and pray to the Almighty for mercy. If you are good and honest, He will stand up for you and bring you back where you belong. Where you began will seem unimportant because your future will be so successful. Ask old people, find out what their ancestors learned, because we were only born yesterday and know nothing. Our days on earth are only a shadow. Those people will teach you and tell you and speak about what they know. Papyrus plants cannot grow where there is no swamp, and reeds cannot grow tall without water. While they are still growing and not yet cut, they will dry up quicker than grass. That is what will happen to those who forget God. The hope of the wicked will be gone. What they hope in is easily broken. What they trust is like a spider's web. They lean on the spider's web, but it breaks. They grab it, but it does not hold up. They are like well-watered plants in the sunshine that spread their roots all through the garden. They wrap their roots around a pile of rocks and look for a place among the stones. But if a plant is torn from its place, then that place rejects it and says, 'I never saw you.' Now joy has gone away. Other plants grow up from the same dirt. Surely God does not reject the innocent or give strength to those who do evil. God will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Your enemies will be covered with shame, and the tents of the wicked will be gone." 1 Kings chapter 21. After these things had happened, this is what followed. A man named Naboth owned a vineyard in Jezreel near the palace of Ahab, king of Israel. One day Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard. It is near my palace, and I want to make it into a vegetable garden. I will give you a better vineyard in its place, or, if you prefer, I will pay you what it is worth." Naboth answered, "May the Lord keep me from ever giving my land to you. It belongs to my family." Ahab went home angry and upset because he did not like what Naboth from Jezreel had said. Naboth had said, "I will not give you my family's land." Ahab lay down on his bed, turned his face to the wall, and refused to eat. His wife, Jezebel, came in and asked him, "Why are you so upset that you refuse to eat?" Ahab answered, "I talked to Naboth, the man from Jezreel. I said, 'Sell me your vineyard, or, if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard for it.' But Naboth refused." Jezebel answered, "Is that how you rule as king over Israel? Get up, eat something, and cheer up. I will get Naboth's vineyard for you." So Jezebel wrote some letters, signed Ahab's name to them, and used his own seal to seal them. Then she sent them to the older leaders and important men who lived in Naboth's town. The letter she wrote said, "Declare a day during which the people are to give up eating. Call the people together and give Naboth a place of honor among them. Seat two troublemakers across from him and have him say they heard Naboth speak against God and the king. Then take Naboth out of the city and kill him with stones." The older leaders and important men of Jezreel obeyed Jezebel's command just as she wrote in the letters. They declared a special day on which the people were to give up eating, and they put Naboth in a place of honor before the people. Two troublemakers sat across from Naboth and said in front of everybody that they had heard him speak against God and the king. So the people carried Naboth out of the city and killed him with stones. Then the leaders sent a message to Jezebel saying, "Naboth has been killed." When Jezebel heard that Naboth had been killed, she told Ahab, "Naboth of Jezreel is dead. Now you may go and take for yourself the vineyard he would not sell to you." When Ahab heard that Naboth of Jezreel was dead, he got up and went to the vineyard to take it for his own. At this time, the Lord spoke his word to the prophet Elijah the Tishbite. The Lord said, "Go to King Ahab of Israel in Samaria. He is at Naboth's vineyard where he has gone to take it as his own. Tell Ahab that I, the Lord, say to him, 'You have murdered Naboth and taken his land.' So I tell you this, in the same place the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, they will also lick up your blood." When Ahab saw Elijah, he said, "So you have found me, my enemy." Elijah answered, "Yes, I have found you. You have always chosen to do what the Lord says is wrong. So the Lord says to you, 'I will soon destroy you. I will kill you and every male in your family, both slave and free. Your family will be like the family of King Jeroboam, son of Nebat, like the family of King Baasha, son of Ahijah. I will destroy you because you have made me angry and have led the people of Israel to sin. And the Lord also says, dogs will eat the body of Jezebel in the city of Jezreel. Anyone in your family who dies in the city will be eaten by dogs, and anyone who dies in the fields will be eaten by birds. There was no one like Ahab, who had chosen so often to do what the Lord said was wrong, because his wife Jezebel influenced him to do evil. Ahab sinned terribly by worshiping idols, just as the Amorite people did, and the Lord had taken away their land and given it to the people of Israel. After Elijah finished speaking, Ahab tore his clothes. He put on rough cloth, refused to eat, and even slept in the rough cloth to show how sad and upset he was. The Lord spoke his word to Elijah the Tishbite. I see that Ahab is now sorry for what he has done. So I will not cause the trouble to come to him during his life, but I will wait until his son is king. Then I will bring this trouble to Ahab's family. 1 Kings chapter 22. For 3 years there was peace between Israel and Aram. During the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went to visit Ahab, king of Israel. At that time, Ahab asked his officers, "Do you remember that the king of Aram took Ramoth and Gilead from us? Why have we done nothing to get it back?" So Ahab asked King Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth and Gilead?" "I will go with you," Jehoshaphat answered. "My soldiers are yours and my horses are yours." Jehoshaphat also said to Ahab, "But first we should ask if this is the Lord's will." Ahab called about 400 prophets together and asked them, "Should I go to war against Ramoth and Gilead or not?" They answered, "Go, because the Lord will hand them over to you." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? Let's ask him what we should do." Then King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "There is one other prophet. We could ask the Lord through him, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything good about me, but something bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Jehoshaphat said, "King Ahab, you shouldn't say that." So Ahab, king of Israel, told one of his officers to bring Micaiah to him at once. Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, had on their royal robes and were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor near the entrance to the gate of Samaria. All the prophets were standing before them, speaking their messages. Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, had made some iron horns. He said to Ahab, "This is what the Lord says, you will use these horns to fight the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the other prophets said the same thing, "Attack Ramoth and Gilead and win, because the Lord will hand the Arameans over to you." The messenger who had gone to get Micaiah said to him, "All the other prophets are saying King Ahab will succeed. You should agree with them and give the king a good answer." But Micaiah answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me." When Micaiah came to Ahab, the king asked him, "Micaiah, should we attack Ramoth and Gilead or not?" Micaiah answered, "Attack and win. The Lord will hand them over to you." But Ahab said to Micaiah, "How many times do I have to tell you to speak only the truth to me in the name of the Lord?" So Micaiah answered, "I saw the army of Israel scattered over the hills like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said, they have no leaders, they should go home and not fight." Then Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, "I told you, he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad." But Micaiah said, "Hear the message from the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with his heavenly army standing near him on his right and on his left. The Lord said, who will trick Ahab into attacking Ramoth and Gilead, where he will be killed?" Some said one thing, some said another. Then one spirit came and stood before the Lord and said, "I will trick him." The Lord asked, "How will you do it?" The spirit answered, "I will go to Ahab's prophets and make them tell lies." So the Lord said, "You will succeed in tricking him. Go and do it." Micaiah said, "Ahab, the Lord has made your prophets lie to you, and the Lord has decided that disaster should come to you." Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, went up to Micaiah and slapped him in the face. Zedekiah said, "Has the Lord's spirit left me to speak through you?" Micaiah answered, "You will find out on the day you go to hide in an inside room." Then Ahab, king of Israel, ordered, "Take Micaiah and send him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. Tell them I said, put this man in prison and give him only bread and water until I return safely from the battle." Micaiah said, "Ahab, if you come back safely from battle, the Lord has not spoken through me. Remember my words, all you people." So Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went to Ramoth in Gilead. King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "I will go into battle, but I will wear other clothes so no one will recognize me. But you wear your royal clothes." So Ahab wore other clothes and went into battle. The king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, "Don't fight with anyone, important or unimportant, except the king of Israel." When these commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought he was certainly the king of Israel, so they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat began shouting. When they saw he was not King Ahab, they stopped chasing him. By chance, a soldier shot an arrow, but he hit Ahab, king of Israel, between the pieces of his armor. King Ahab said to his chariot driver, "Turn around and get me out of the battle, because I am hurt." The battle continued all day. King Ahab was held up in his chariot and faced the Arameans. His blood flowed down to the bottom of the chariot. That evening he died. Near sunset, a cry went out through the army of Israel, "Each man go back to his own city and land." In that way, King Ahab died. His body was carried to Samaria and buried there. The men cleaned Ahab's chariot at a pool in Samaria where prostitutes bathed, and the dogs licked his blood from the chariot. These things happened as the Lord had said they would. Everything else Ahab did is written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. It tells about the palace Ahab built and decorated with ivory and the cities he built. So Ahab died, and his son Ahaziah became king in his place. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king of Judah during Ahab's fourth year as king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he ruled in Jerusalem for 25 years. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. Jehoshaphat was good like his father Asa, and he did what the Lord said was right. But Jehoshaphat did not destroy the places where gods were worshipped, so the people continued offering sacrifices and burning incense there. Jehoshaphat was at peace with the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat fought many wars, and these wars and his successes are written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There were male prostitutes still in the places of worship from the days of his father Asa, so Jehoshaphat forced them to leave. During this time, the land of Edom had no king. It was ruled by a governor. King Jehoshaphat built trading ships to sail to Ophir for gold, but the ships were wrecked at Ezion Geber, so they never set sail. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, went to help Jehoshaphat, offering to give Jehoshaphat some men to sail with his men, but Jehoshaphat refused. Jehoshaphat died and was buried with his ancestors in Jerusalem, the city of David, his ancestor. Then his son, Jehoram, became king in his place. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria during Jehoshaphat's 17th year as king over Judah. Ahaziah ruled Israel for 2 years, and he did what the Lord said was wrong. He did the same evil his father Ahab, his mother Jezebel, and Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had done. All these rulers led the people of Israel into more sin. Ahaziah worshipped and served the god Baal, and this made the Lord, the God of Israel, very angry. In these ways, Ahaziah did what his father had done.
Chapter 17.
After saying this, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the time is here. Give your Son glory so that your Son can give you glory. After all, you've given him authority over all humanity so that he can give eternal life to all those you gave to him. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. On earth I have given you glory by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, give me glory in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. I made your name known to the people you gave me. They are from this world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. They did what you told them. Now they know that everything you gave me comes from you, because I gave them the message that you gave me. They have accepted this message, and they know for sure that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you gave me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine. I have been given glory by the people you've given me. I won't be in the world much longer, but they are in the world, and I'm coming back to you. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that their unity may be like ours. While I was with them, I kept them safe by the power of your name, the name that you gave me. I watched over them, and none of them except one person became lost. So Scripture came true. But now, Father, I'm coming back to you. I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they will have the same joy that I have. I have given them your message, but the world has hated them because they don't belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one. They don't belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Use the truth to make them holy. Your words are truth. I've sent them into the world the same way you sent me into the world. I'm dedicating myself to this holy work I'm doing for them so that they too will use the truth to be holy. I'm not praying only for them. I'm also praying for those who will believe in me through their message. I pray that all of these people continue to have unity in the way that you, Father, are in me and I am in you. I pray that they may be united with us so that the world will believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. They are united in the same way that we are. I am in them and you are in me, so they are completely united. In this way, the world knows that you have sent me and that you have loved them in the same way you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me, to be where I am. I want them to see my glory, which you gave me because you loved me before the world was made. Righteous Father, the world didn't know you, yet I knew you, and these disciples have known that you sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love that you have for me will be in them and I will be in them.